Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Kamma daf Yud Aleph. We left off 5 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Yud Amud Beis. We are at Amar Le Rav Kahana Le Rav. The last lines on the last words on the line, 5 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Goldava Simcha Le Shalom. And it's also sponsored once again by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and captives. They should all come back safely and quickly and accomplish their mission. We are going to discuss today the following. First, we're going to talk about who loses with the Pchas Nevela, meaning if an animal dies, as either in a case where you're mazik the animal, one person is mazik the other person, and the animal dies, and then the animal goes down in value after its death, so who loses that differential in value? And also, who's responsible to actually fetch the Nevela? The Nevela may not be in a convenient location. It may be at the bottom of the bar. So who's responsible to pay to get that Nevela out of the bar? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a Mazik, a Ganav, a Gazlan, a Shoel, do they pay the full value of the item or just the differential between what it was and what it is? Meaning, I damage your car, so do I say that that because I've ruined your car and I've totaled it, let's say, so now I have to pay for the entire value of your car? Or no, the parts of the car are worth something, so there's value to the dead car right now, so I only have to pay for the difference between what the car was worth and what it is worth. Then the Gemara is going to have, since in that context we're going to quote Ula Amar Rabbi Lazar, the whole rest of the daf is going to quote 6 more statements of Ula Amar Rabbi Lazar, but it's just from all over the place, not Baba Kamma related, only Ula Amar Rabbi Lazar related, but really from statements from all over the place. So let's begin 5 lines from the end of the page on daf Yud Amud Bey. So Rav Kahana asks the following. Amar Le Rav Kahana L'Rav. Rav Kahana says to Rav, just even knowing who the people are that we're talking about over here is a little bit confusing. Shita Mugbetzis points out that this Rav Kahana is from the Amoraim at the end of the period of Amoraim, whereas the Rav Kahana that the Gemara had quoted earlier, who darshins that Bailim Metaplim B'Nevela based on the Pasuk of Shomer Sachar, was the Rav Kahana who lived in the beginning of the period of Amoraim, because the Gemara quotes him before Chizkiah, so he must have been earlier than Chizkiah. And Shittim Gretzis is Goris, instead of Lerav, it's Lerava, because Rav was in the Tchilas Yimei Hamoraim, and Rava was later. So it's unclear, it's difficult to get down exactly who's talking to who, but it's Rav Kahana says to somebody, either Rav or Rava, Ela Taima, the Kasar Rachman of Amesi Elo. The reason you say that by the Metapel Benevela, that the reason that we say that the Nizik is the one that that has to take the Nevela as part of the payment, and the Mazik only has to pay the differential between the value of the Nevela and the value of what it was, is because the Pasuk says Vamesi Elo. But the implication is, Lav Hachi, had the Pasuk not said Vamesi Elo, Havamina Nevela de Mazik Havya, then the assumption would have been that the Nevela is the Mazik's problem. That if my animal damages or kills your animal, I have to take the Nevela and I just have to pay you the full value of your animal in cash. So Frekta Gemara or Frekta Rav Kahana to Rav, that doesn't make any sense, because Hashle Iyes Le Lididei Kama Trefos. Let's say I have a bunch of trefos and altogether those trefos are worth the amount of damage done. Yoivle, I could pay you with trefos. Damar Mar, because it says in the Parsha of Bar, when it says Kesef Yashiv Labalov, we darshin Yashiv L'Rabu Shava Kesef Afilu Suvin. I could pay you in Shava Kesef. I could pay you even the cheapest of metaltolin, even subin, even bran. So didei mi bayu. So of course I could pay. If I could pay you in trefos, I could pay you in nevelos. So I should be able to pay you partially with your nevela. Why should I be responsible to take care of your nevela? Now this kasha, the Rush points out, is only according to Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua, who had said on Daf Zayinam and Beis that kol metaltelin is considered meitav, and therefore the mazik lechatchila is allowed to pay with nevelos that he happens to have. But according to Rav Huna, who we learned on yesterday's Daf, who says, O kesef, O Meitav means that L'chadchila, a Mazik has to pay cash, and if he doesn't have cash, then he's got to pay Karka, but he should not pay Metaltalin, so then it's not really a Kasha, because the Mazik does not have the right to just take any Nevelis he has lying around the house and paying. So this is only a Kasha, not like the Shita that we learned yesterday of Rav Huna. It's only a Kasha if you assume that a Mazik in general is allowed to pay with whatever Metaltalin he happens to have around. So, but still, according to those opinions, it's a Kasha. Why would you, how could there even be a Havamina that the Mazik is the one that has to worry about the Nevela, if after all the Mazik could pay in Nevelos entirely? So it says, Lo Nitzcha L'Pchas Nevela. Now the issue over here is not whether partial payment could be made with the Nevela itself, it's what if the Nevela went down in value from the moment it was killed until right now. Who suffers that loss? That's the whole issue, that the Mazik only pays the difference between the cost of a living shor and the Nevela Bishas Misa. So says Mar Lema Pchas Nevela Tanaihi. Maybe we could say that the issue of Pchas Nevela, of who bears that loss, is really a Machlokes Tanaim, because we have a Machlokes Tanaim that can best be explained to really be about Pchas Nevela. Ditanya, we have a Braisa that says as follows. The Pasuk says when it comes to Shomer Sachar, who's supposed to be guarding an animal, and the behema became a trefa, im tarof yitaref yivieu eid. So the chamdarshin yavi eidim shenitrafa ba'ones. He has to bring eidim that it happened ba'ones, and therefore upater, he's going to be pater, because the Shomer Sachar is pater on onesim, if an ones happens. So the item that he's watching, he's not going to have to pay. Abishol omer yavi aduda. No, it means he's got to bring the nevela li beizdin in order to beizdin, for beizdin to be able to evaluate what the nevela is worth. So my love, Bahakamifli, what is the machlokas over here? What are they arguing about? What are they even talking about? So Demar Savar must be that Abishol holds Pchas Nevela Denizikavi, the devaluation of the nevela from the time it died till the time of Hamad Bedin is something that the Nizik has to bear. The Nizik meaning the Mafkid, he's the one that loses out. And therefore, if the Shomer was Poshea, and therefore the animal became a Trefa, and the Shomer therefore would have to pay, he brings the nevela to Beis Din before it goes down in value, in order to know how much it's worth at the Shas Misa, so that he could pay the difference between what it's worth at the Shas Misa and what it's worth right now. Umar Savar, but the Tanakamu does not darshan that your Yavi Aduda Lebezdin, he must hold the Mazikavi, that the Pchas Nevela, anyway, the Mazik is going to be the one to lose out, and the Shomer that was Poshea loses the Pchas Nevela, so there's no need to bring the Aduda to Bezdin, there's no need to bring the Nevela to Bezdin, because it doesn't make any difference how much the Nevela is worth. However much it goes down, he's going to lose out anyway, so you don't have to see how much it's worth right now at this moment. So right here, the Rashba points out the Gemara could ask, what's the Tanakama going to do with the three psukim that we had in yesterday's daf that teach us Pchas Nevela Denizik? Because in order to teach us that the Mazik is able to pay, you don't need a pasuk, like Rav Kana asked Rav. But since we're not going to stick with this understanding of the Machlokas Tanayim anyway, Lamaskana, so the Gemara doesn't ask that. The Gemara instead says, nah, you're misunderstanding the Machlokas Tanayim. Look, Dekuli Alma Denizik. Everyone holds Pchas Nevela is Denizik, that Denizik has to deal with Pchas Nevela. Over here, the machlokas is who has to be toreach to bring the nevela from the place that it died. That Abishol holds it's the mazik's problem to fetch the nevela, and that's what it means, yavi aduda, that you're the one that actually has to physically bring it, to be toreach to bring the nevela. And the Tanakama says, no, the nizik is the one that has to fetch the nevela. And the Gemara says, Vatanya, and in Taka we have a brisa that says, just like Abishol, that acherim amrim minayin sha'al bal habor lahalo shor. How do I know that the mazik, the bal habor, has to fetch the shor out of his bor? Tamlomar kesef yashav lebal va meis. That aside from the tashlum of the actual nezik payment, the mazik also has to return to the nizik the actual nevela and get it out of his bor to bring it. The Rosh points out that the nizik, that means the nizik has to hire workers to bring the nevela from the bor, and the mazik will pay for those workers. Meaning that the nizik will when we say that it's the responsibility of the Nizik, it doesn't mean that it's the financial responsibility of the Nizik. It means it's the Tircha responsibility of the Nizik. But the Mazik ultimately is going to pay for those workers. The Rambam in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Perek Zayin, whoever writes, Ala Mazik Litroach Benevela Ad Shemamtzi Osa Lenizik Ketzan Kigon Shenuf Al Ashor Lebar V'meis Mala Nevela Menabar V'nosna Lenizik. Sounds like the Mazik has to be Tareach in bringing the Nevela also. He can't just write a check afterwards, that it's the Mazik's responsibility to actually bring the Nevela, which is different than what the Rush says. The Rush says, no, the Nizik will have the responsibility, the Mazik will have the financial responsibility. The Rambam seems to be saying, no, the Mazik has everything. He's the one that has to hire the workers also, and not only pay for the workers. So ask the Gemara, why do I need a pasuk to teach me that the Toreach of the Nevela is the Mazik's responsibility? Amalei Abai L'Rava, Hai Toreach Nevela Hechidami. This pasuk that teaches me that the Mazik has to pay for the Toreach Nevela, what exactly is the case? Ilema Debira Shavya Zuza Va'aguda Shavya Arba, that if when it's in the bar it's worth one zuz, and once you get it out of the bar it's worth four zuz, I need a pasuk Kitarach B'dinav Sheikha Tarach. When he's Toreach to bring the Nevela out, it's for his own benefit. So because he's going to end up paying less, because now the Nevela is worth more. So of course it's the Mazik's responsibility to get the Nevela out of there. So Amalei, Rava says back to Abai, Lo Tzricha, De Bebira Shavi Zuzah V'Agudinami Shavi Zuzah. No, the case is, it's worth the same amount out of the bar as it is in the bar. So now it's a chiddush to tell me that the Mazik has to pay the expense of getting it out of the bar, even though he gains nothing from getting it out of the bar, even though he gains no financial benefit from getting it out of the bar, because it's not worth any more out of the bar. Says Maramika Ki Agavna, how does that even make sense, that it's not worth any more out of it, meaning, if the Nevela has no use in the bar, the only use you can get from it is out of the bar, and it costs money to get it out of the bar. How does the cost of shipping, you know, or of moving it, not get factored into the price of the Nevela? So the Gemara gives this cryptic answer in Dahamri Inchi. People say, Kishura b'masa bezuza, Kishura b'dabra bezuza. That somehow, when you buy a beam in a city, it's sold for a zuz, and when you buy it out in a field, it's also sold for a zuz, and even though you're going to end up having to bring it to the city to use for construction, it's just, you know, that's just the way pricing works, that people look at the item and they don't always take into account all of the expenses that are going to have to be incurred in transporting the item. So yeah, it could be that people would pay zuz for a nevela in a bar the same way they'd pay a zuz for a nevela outside of the bar. Okay, so now we've discussed, as far as Nizikin is concerned, that the nevela belongs to the Nizik, and the Mazik only has to pay the differential, right? The difference between what the nevela is worth and what it used to be worth when it was alive. What about other areas of halacha where someone is responsible to pay? What if you have a ganav who's responsible to pay, a gazlan who's a shoel, and there's a nevela left at the end of the story? So do they only pay the differential, or do they pay the full amount? So Amar Shmuel, Ein Shamin, we don't, lo leganav, lo legazlan, el nizakin. This is a nezek thing. This halacha, that the nizik will receive the nevela as part of his payment, and the mazik will only have to write a check for the differential, is daf when you do damage. It's not true for a ganav, it's not true for a gazlan. So if a person steals a behemoth or steals a kli, and the behemoth dies or the kli breaks and therefore it's worth a lot less, we don't have to assess how much it's worth broken. The mazik will just keep the kli and he'll pay for the full value of what it was worth. But I say that we even do that it's even true for a shoel. What's even true for a shoel? The Gemara is about to ask. And Abba is moda to me. Abba meaning Rav. So Yibayiluhu, Hachikamer, Af L'shoel, Shamin, V'Abba moda. What's aflashol? What's the af going on? Are you suggesting that for a shoel you would also assess how much it's worth when in its broken state and you'd only pay the difference? Or are you suggesting that for a shoel you would not assess how much it's worth in its broken state and you have to pay the full amount? So Tashma says, well, bring a raya. Deu gavr deshol narga mechavri. Someone borrowed an axe from his friend, Tavra, and he broke it. He was poshea and he broke it. So also, so he's a shoel. So also, kamei the Rav, they came to ask Rav the shayla. Amalei zil shalom le nargamalia. You got to go pay him the full value of the axe. Shvamina ain shaman. Apparently, we don't look at the broken pieces of the axe and take that into account and only make him pay the difference. We make him pay the full value. So it says, Adrava, Mita Amri Le Rav Kan Rav Asi Rav, Dina Hachi, Vishasik. No, maybe from the fact that Rav Kan Rav Asi said to Rav, wait, is that really true? That you're going to have to pay the full value and not just the differential? And Rav kept quiet. He didn't answer to that. He didn't answer them, Shmami No Shamin. Maybe you see from there, from the fact that Rav was stumped, and that really, maybe you see from there, that really you do evaluate the broken pieces of the axe and you only pay the differential. So how do we paskin? Itmar, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shaman Laganov, Ula Gazlan. That we even make the assessment of the broken pieces for a Ganov or a Gazlan. Rav Papi Amar, Ein Shaman. Rav Papi says, we do not make such an assessment when it comes to a Ganov or a Gazlan. Vilchsa, Ein Shaman, Lo Laganov, Velo Lagazlan, Aval Shovel Shaman, Kedrav Kanav Ravasi. But for a Shovel, we are Shaman. So it turns out, at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to be saying that the halacha is, when it comes to a Nezek and when it comes to a Shoel, we're going to take into account how much the broken item is worth, and you only pay the differential. Whereas, when it comes to a ganav or a gazlan, then you just pay the full amount, and we don't assess the broken pieces. A lot of times, people make the mistake. Meaning, if let's say I'm posheya and I'm mazik your car, I bump into your car or something. So people think that the achrayus of what I have to, let's leave insurance out of it. That complicates matters in halacha. But people think that my responsibility is to pay to fix it. It's not really true. The responsibility is to pay the difference in value between what your car was worth before I dented it and what it's worth now, which often is much, much less than the actual cost of a repair. So, you know, a lot of times people ask shailas and they don't like the answers because you end up not really having to pay as much as you would think you have to pay, because we're shoving the, even if I total your car, we take into account the value of the broken pieces. I don't have to pay for an entirely new car. Again, insurance, you know, changes the equation a little bit, but leaving out insurance, that would be the technical requirement, I think. Okay, so now once we mention this statement of Ula Amar Ablazar, the Gemara now brings six more statements of Ula Amar Ablazar. So the first statement of Ula Amar Ablazar relates to Tumas Leida. The halach is that if a woman gives birth to, the Psukim in Chumash tell us in Parshat Tazria, that if a woman gives birth to a baby boy, so she's Tameh for 7 days and then Tahar for 33 days, even if there's a lot of dam during those 33 days, if she goes to the mikveh after the 7 days and she's Tahar for the next 33 days. A baby girl, everything is doubled. 14 days and 66 days. What if a woman has a miscarriage and they can't tell if the baby was a boy or a girl? So then we need to be machmir in both directions. We need to give her 14 days of tumma just in case it was a girl. And then, but the you may tahara run out 40 days after the event of the miscarriage. What if some of the placenta comes out on Sunday and a little more comes out on Monday? So I'm not sure exactly when to start counting. Do I start counting on Sunday? Do I assume that's when the Rov Vlad came out? Or do I start counting on Monday? So that's the topic of what Ula Amar Ablazar is about to teach us. V'amar Ula Amar Ablazar, Shilya Shiyatsa Miktsasa B'yom Rishon U'Miktsasa B'yom Sheni. What if some of the Shilya came out on Sunday and some came out on Monday? So we're choshesh that in the sum that came out on Sunday, maybe Rove of the Vlad came out, and therefore it's already considered a Leda, already starting from Sunday. So we count the 14 days of Tuma from that Sunday, and any Taros that she touches on that Sunday are Tamei, even if she didn't see any Dam in the Shilya, because it's a Leda. Amalei Rava, so Rava says, wait a second, Ma Dateich, what, you're going to be Metamei her starting from Sunday, L'chumra, you think you're going L'chumra by doing that? But Chumra Dasa Dede Kulahu, that ultimately is going to lead to a Kula, because the sooner you start the Yemei Tuma, the sooner you end the Yemei Tuma. So what if 2 weeks later she touches Taurus again? To come to Taurus, Lami Rishon. You're going to be Matar 14 days starting from that Sunday, and it could be that Rova the Vlad only came out on Monday, and really the Yemei Tuma should have started then. Ella Amar Rava, so rather Rava said, Lachush, to be Choshesh, that maybe Rova the Vlad came out on Yom Rishon, Choshesh. That we're Choshesh for, and therefore anything she touches on Sunday is Tamei Misafik. But Mimna Lo Mimanya Ella L'Sheni. But as far as when the Yemei Tuma run out, that we're only going to start counting from the second of the 2 days, from the Monday, because it could be that the Leida happened on that day. So I asked Mara, Maika Mashmalan, what's Ula teaching me? That we're Choshesh to be Metamei Taros already from Yom Rishon? Rishon. What's the big chiddush? The Gemara, De'ein mixa shulia below vlad. The Ula is being mechadesh, and even if only some of the shulia came out, there's definitely vlad in that shulia. And the only thing we don't know is it rov havlad that came out in that mixa shulia, and therefore it's considered a leida, or is it only miut of the vlad that came out in that shulia, and therefore it's not considered a leida? If you were able to have mixa shulia come out without any vlad, meaning if some shulia came out on Sunday, and there's the possibility that 0% of the vlad came out with that placenta, then I wouldn't be choshesh to be metame things already on that Sunday, because that would involve a double chumrah. Number one, it would involve an assumption that there is any amount of vlad, and number two, it would involve an assumption that any amount is the rov of the vlad. The way the simple reading is that means it's a svek sveka, that meaning if it were possible for mitzvah shulia to come out without any vlad, then it would be a svek sveka and we would have been metaher. Suffolk, maybe there's no vlad, and even if there is vlad, maybe it's less than rov of the vlad, and we would have been metaher. However, Tosfos in Dibur HaMaschil De'ein says that that's problematic to employ a svek sveka over here, because the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Maseches Taros writes that even a svek sveka of Tumah Bereshus Hayachid is going to be Tameh. Meaning when we say Safek Tumah Bereshus Hayachid is Tameh, it's Afilu B'Svek Sveika. And Bereshus Rabim, even a Safek Echad is going to be Tahar. So therefore, Tosa says that Ula does not mean Svek Sveika, but rather what he means to say is meaning he does mean to say Svek Sveika, but not about her Tumah status, but about her Isser status to her husband. And with a single Safek or Machmir, or the Svek Sveika or Mekil, because when it comes to Nida Labaila, when it comes to a woman's Tumah as far as her husband is concerned, that doesn't follow the rules of Tumah and Tahara, that follows the rules of Isser Veheter. And by Isser Veheter, we say Safik Daraisa L'chumah Safik Darabana L'kula, right? We don't say Safik Tumah Bereshus Hayachid is Tumah. It's an entirely different set of rules. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole shtickel on this, whether Nida is considered, Nida Labaila is considered to be Isser Veheter, or it's considered to be Tumah V'Tahara, and he brings a raya from the Gra, from the Gra's understanding of Psukim, that it must be Isser V'Heter, because the Pasuk says, Bein Dam L'Dam, Bein Din L'Din, Bein Nega L'Nega. And the Gra explains that that's referring to the three areas of Torah where we have different rules with regard to Suffolk. Din L'Din is the easy one, that's about Dinei Mamonos. So Dinei Mamonos, what do you do with the Suffolk? Either Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, Mamon Amotzi Besavich Holkin, according to Sumchus, that's Dinei Mamonos. Bein Nega L'Nega, that's Tumah V'Tahara. Nega'im is certainly Tumah V'Tahara. What do you do with the Suffolk? Tumah V'Tahara, Savik Tumah Bereshus Yachid is Tameh, Savik Tumah Bereshus Rabim is Tahar. Bein Dam L'Dam is referring, the Gra says, to Isser V'Heter, to like Sveikos about Basar Nevela and Basar Trefa, Isser regular Isser V'Heter. But what's it talking about? What kind of Dam? Dam Nida apparently is Isser V'Heter, and the rule by Isser V'Heter is Savik Daraisa L'Chumra, Savik Darabara L'Kula. So that's the Raya, that when it comes to Nida L'Baila, we don't view that as Tumen Tahara, we view that as Isser V'Heter. That's how the Tosos understands. Now Tosa Rush is Metaret for Rashi, that Dafka by Tumas Maga are we Machmir even on a Svek Sveka Bereshus Yachid, but Tumah Yotze Migufo, we're not Machmir on a Svek Sveka, because it's not similar to Sota. The whole idea of Savi Tumah Bereshus Yachid is derived from Sota, because the Tumas Maga is of the Boel, so it's not considered, that's where we say Savi Tumah Bereshus Yachid. But Tumah Yotze Lav Migufo has nothing to do with Sota and could not be derived from Sota. We'll leave it there. There's a lot of sveikos you can stay in forever. So says the Gemara Vaiter. So the Gemara asks, why does Ula have to tell me that Ein Mixa Shulia below Vlad? Tanina, I already know that Ein Mixa Shulia below Vlad, that if some of the Shulia comes out, that there must be Vlad in the Shulia. So Shulia Shiatza Mixasa, Asura Bachila, that if, let's say, Shulia of a Behema, some of the Shulia came out of the Behema before the Shkita, a little bit of background over here. The halacha is that if you shecht the behema, the shechita works for whatever's inside that behema. But if you have a behema that gave birth before its shechita, even if some parts of the baby are still inside of the behema, so then those parts of the baby are not mutter with the shechita of the behema. So what if some of the shilya came out before the shechita? So what about the shilya that's left inside? What about the parts that are still inside the behema? So asura ba'achila. The shilya is asura ba'achila, even that which is is still left inside, because Shilya is Simon Vlad Beisha. It's Vaday that there's a Vlad in the Shilya of an Isha, and Simon Vlad Bebehema, and the same is true by a Behema. So when some of the Shilya came out before the Shechita, since in that sum of the Shilya there is some amount of Vlad, we have to be Choshesh that maybe it's the Rove of the Vlad, and therefore it's, so the Vlad was already born, and Beitzias Rubo, it's already considered to be fully born, and therefore that Vlad is not going to become Mutter with the Shechita of the mother. So you see that there's no Mixta Shilya below Vlad. Anytime there's Mixta Shilya, there's automatically Vlad. Because if you could say that Mixta Shilya below Vlad, that sometimes you'll have Shilya come out without any Vlad, I wouldn't have asked the whole Shilya, because it would be a Svek Sveka. Maybe in that Mixas that came out, there's no Vlad. And even if in the Mixas that came out, there was Vlad, maybe it was only minority of the Vlad and not a majority of the Vlad, and it's not a Leda. So we would have said Svek Sveka. Elamai, this teaching, this Brisa, this Mishnah rather, is already assuming that Ein Mixas Shilya below Vlad, which begs the question, what's Ula teaching me? So says Mar, Imi Masnisin, no, if I only would have learned from that Mishnah, Hava Amina, then the assumption would have been, the Havamina would have been, Diyesh Mixas Shilya below Vlad, that Ein Achinami, you can have Mixas Shilya below Vlad, and the Meikra Din, only the Mixas Shilya that came out would be Asra Ba'achila, but the rest of the Shilya that's inside would be Mutter Mitam Svek Sveka, but Ugzeira Mixasa Atu Kula. The fact that we Asra the entire Shilya in that Mishnah is a Gzeira, that we made a Gzeira, that if part of the Shilya came out, you're not allowed to eat the part that remains in, Atu, case of where Kol HaShilya comes out, because since by Kol HaShilya there's definitely Vlad there, so even if it went back in, it doesn't become Mutter B'Shechita Se'em. So when Mixas Shilya comes out, they made a Gzeira, so Kamash Vlan. That's why Ula has to tell me that no, it's not based on Gzeira, it's based on the reality that Ein Mixas Shilya below Vlad, that if some Shilya comes out, there's got to be some Vlad, and therefore you only have one Suffolk. Was it Rov of the Vlad, or was it not Rov of the Vlad? And with one Suffolk, you're going to need to be Machmir. So that was statement number one of Ula Amar Ablazer that's outside of Baba Kama. Now we have five more statements of Ula Amar Ablazer. Statement number two, V'amar Ula Amar Ablazer. Again, we're just on totally different topics. B'char Shenitraf Petoch Shalshim Yom. Let's say you have a firstborn human being, a firstborn child, firstborn baby boy that became, Rachman al-Son was killed within 30 days of being born. Ein Podino. So you do not do Pidyon HaBen. We don't say that as soon as he's born, the Chiv of Pidyon HaBen kicks in, and you don't have to do Pidyon HaBen. Chein Tani Rami Bar Chama Mitok Shenemar, because the Pasuk says that Pado Tifteh as Bukhara Adon, the Pasuk says, so the double Lashon tells me Yachla Filu Nitra Pitok Shalashim Yom, you might think that he's Chayiv in Pidyon even if he gets killed within 30 days. Tamalomar Ach, the double Lashon might have indicated that even if the baby Rachman al-Son is killed within 30 days, you have to do Pidyon. That's why the Pasuk says Ach, which is Lashon Miot Chilek, that tells me that not every baby needs Pidyon HaBen. So if the Bechor is Nerag within 30 days, he's Pater from Pidyon. Rashi points out that if the Bechor were to just die on his own, meaning he dies of illness or whatever, he doesn't make it Rachman al-Son to 30 days, so then it's Pashut that he's Pater from Pidyon, because it was a Nathel. And the Pasuk says Pidyon Ben Chodesh Tifteh. So but when it's Nerag, the Hava Mina is that there's no indication that it's an Aethel. If it was Nerag, then it was something that happened to the baby. There's no indication that there was that the baby was unhealthy. Chassam Sofer writes that you don't pater a Nerag on account of maybe it was an Aethel and Motzi Mechaver Alav Haraya, because you have a Chazaka that comes Mikach Rov, that Rov Nashim Yoldos Vlado Shein of Nefelim, that Rov Nashim will give birth to a baby that's not an Aethel. So that's why I need a drasha from Pasuk to tell me not to do Pidyon HaBen. Meaning naturally I would have assumed, I would not have said, oh, it's a Suffolk Nefel and I'm Pater. Meaning by Pidyon HaBen we follow Dine Mamanis, because it's the Iker, a payment that's made to the Kohen. So whether you're Chayiv or Pater from Pidyon HaBen is a Dine Mamanis Shaila. So normally when you have a Suffolk Pidyon HaBen, we just say, okay, so you don't do a Pidyon HaBen. Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. It's actually a discussion in the post, and that's why we have the Shaila comes up all the time. Someone has a miscarriage on their first pregnancy, and then on the second pregnancy they have a baby boy, and the miscarriage was at a stage where it's not so clear that it was that there was a full tzuras havlad already at the stage of the miscarriage. So what do? So some poskim say do a pidyon without a bracha, because it's a suffix. So at least do the pidyon, but savi brachas lahakel. Rav Shechter told us no, the motzi mechaver lo haraya. We follow dine mamonis when it comes to pidyon aben. So unless you know for sure that it's chayv in pidyon, it's going to be part of a pidyon. That's the way we would normally paskin to follow. Again, discussion in the poskim, but that's the way we follow dine mamonis. There is a discussion whether the same is true as far as the 30-day thing when it comes to tainus bechorim. You know, the Shvus Yaakov has a tshuva where a bechor was born on Lel Yudal Nisan. Does the father have to fast the next day on Erev Pesach because he wasn't born before Erev Pesach, before Yudal Nisan started? So maybe he's not chayiv to fast. So he writes that those that are born after Chatzos Halayla, the father does not have to fast, because the whole idea of the tainus was to celebrate the fact that the Bechorei Yisrael were spared from Makas Bechoros, which happened at Chatzos HaLayla. Granted, it's the next night, but nevertheless, that's what it's a zecher to. So it would all depend on whether it was born before or after Chatzos. So the Kabbar Nisanel, Maseches Pesachim, writes, another reason he says that the father doesn't have to fast, because if the ben is not 30 days old, he's not Yotzi Mecheskas Nefel. The father anyway doesn't have to fast. Just like by Pidina Ben, that it should follow the same rules as Pidina Ben. So a lot of the other poskim say, no, it doesn't follow the same rules as Pidyon HaBen, because it's not about being a Nefel, it's about whether it would be subject to Makas Becharos. Okay, now a third statement of Ula Amar Ablazar. V'amar Ula Amar Ablazar, Behema Gasa, Niknas B'Mashicha. If you have a very large animal, a shor, a chamar, something like that, not a sheep or a goat, so then the way to be kona it is by pulling the Behema from the Rishus of the Mocher. Ay, Va'anon Tanan, but didn't we learn in Maseches Kiddushin that Behema Gasa is Niknas B'Mesira, that the Bailam gives it to the Lokeach, you don't need, not only with Mashicha from the Rishus of the Mocher. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar says that you need to do a Mashicha, Hu Di Amar Ki Ay Tana. He's assuming like the following Tana, Ditanya V'chamomrim Zo V'Zo, both the Behema Daka and the Behema Gasa B'Mashicha are Niknas B'Mashicha, V'Rabbi Shimon Omer Zo V'Zo B'Hagbaha, that they're both acquired by lifting the animal, not B'Mashicha and not B'Mesira. So Rabbi Lazar is assuming like the Shita of the Chachamim when he says Behema Gasa is Niknas B'Mashicha, because the Chachamim were the ones that said Zo V'Zo B'Mashicha. Okay, so it turns out to be a Machlokas, how to acquire a Behema Gasa. Statement number four of Ula Amar Ablazar, V'Amar Ula Amar Ablazar, Ha'achin Shechalku, if brothers divide the estate of their father, Masha Alehen Shamin, whatever clothing they're wearing, if that clothing was purchased from the estate prior to the division of the estate, meaning the father died and everyone bought themselves a new wardrobe before they figured out who's going to get what, but they just wrote it from the checking account of the father's estate. So they have to assess that. If someone bought himself a $2,000 suit and someone else bought himself a $10 t-shirt, so they have to even that out later. So mashal b'nein b'nosein, but whatever they bought for their children from the estate ein shaman, that they don't have to assess, because we don't bring kids to Beis Din in order to assess their clothing. That's a bizayon, and therefore we assume, Tosfos points out, that they're mochel that. Even though it's not shava b'shava, we assume that they would be mochel something. Then Tosfos quotes the name of the Rif, that dafka big day chol is ein shaman, but big day Shabbos we would be shaman. That even the children's big day Shabbos you'd assess, and the Rush writes, because the big day Shabbos you could bring the begadim without the kids. The big day chol, if it's Beis Din's only open on a weekday, so big day chol, they're going to be wearing their big day chol. You have to realize, meaning they had two sets of clothing. There was Shabbos clothing and there was weekday clothing. So weekday clothing, it means they wore that all week. So it would involve bringing the kids to Beis Din, unless the kids were going to be naked for a day while you brought their kids, the clothing to Beis Din. But Shabbos clothing you could bring to Beis Din on a weekday. Rabbi Nachmanu writes, no. The reason we're not shaman big day b'neihem is because the children already acquired them before the chalukah. Because if the other brothers didn't make a macha'a when you were going shopping for your kids, so we assume that that's already acquired. And therefore, it's bein big day Shabbos, bein big day chol. So that's machlokas, whether big day Shabbos, whether this statement is true of big day Shabbos as well. Amra papa pa'amim af masha alein ein shamin. Sometimes we don't even assess the value of the clothing that the children themselves are wearing, that the yorshim themselves are wearing. How so? When would we not take that into account? Mishkachsa begadolachi, if it's the gadol of the brothers, the oldest of the brothers, who's involved in representing the father's business interests. Meaning, if he's going to be doing the business, people have to respect him. So he has to be dressed in a respectable manner that people will pay attention to him. And that's considered a business expense. So if he's running the father's business, whatever business expenses need to be, are needed to run the business, that doesn't count as his personal Yerusha. So if he has to be dressed nicely to run the business, that doesn't count as his personal Yerusha. Now, statement number five of Ulam Rav Lazar. V'amar Ulam Rav Lazar. Shomer Shemasar L'Shomer. If someone was charged with guarding an item and he gave that item to another shomer without asking the mafkid for permission to do so, the mafkid asked me to watch it. I don't have time or patience or whatever, so I decide to give it to somebody else to watch. Pater. So the first shomer is pater from anything that's going to happen to the object, as long as it's the kind of thing that I would have been pater for anyway had it happened under my watch. Meaning, if something that's not a pshia happens and I would be pater, so then if that happens when someone else is watching it, I'm also pater. Velomi by shomer chinam shemasa l'shomer sachar. And this is not only true if I was a shomer chinam and I upgraded the shmira, I gave it to a shomer Sachar, that I gave it to a shomer who has greater responsibilities, that the shomer chinam is not moser nafsho so much in order to be shomer the bikadon, because he's only chayiv in pshia, whereas the shomer sachar is chayiv in gnev v'aveda as well. He's going to be much more careful in the way he guards it. So then it's mistaver that the first shomer is going to be pater, because adrab, I did you a favor, I upgraded it. What happens if it's taka gnev v'aveda? So the first shomer should be pater if it were gnev v'aveda. So the second shomer is going to be chayv. Who does he pay? Does he pay the first shomer, or does he pay the original guy? So Tosus writes that he pays the bailim, because the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in Masechta Bamitzia, that a shomer is not allowed to make money off of someone else's pikadon. Meaning, a guy gave me a pikadon to watch as a shomer chinam. I can't run a business where I'm giving it to someone else as a shomer sachar, and now I'll make the money off of the gnev v'aveda. No, it goes back to the original bailim. But not only in that case is the shomer pater, ela afilu shomer sachar shemasal shomer chinam. Even if I downgraded the shmira, I was a shomer sachar and I gave it over to a shomer chinam to watch, tashugri gari l'shmira, so where it's a downgrade of the shmira, nami pater, I'm still going to be pater shay masal ben das, because all I have to do is shmira, and shmira involves giving it to a responsible person. So that's it. Even if the responsible person that I'm giving it to doesn't have the level of responsibility that I have, but I did my shmira, that is one shita. That's Ulam Rav Lazar. However, Rava Amar, Rava disagrees, and he says shomer shemasa l'shomer chayiv. If one shomer gives to another shomer, he's going to be chayiv even ba'onsin. V'lomi by shomer sach shemasa l'shomer chinam. Not only in a case where I downgraded the shmira by me being a shomer sach or giving it to a shomer chinam, degrei gari l'shmira, so where I'm giving it to someone who has less responsibility in the shmira, elafilu shomer chinam shemasa l'shomer sach, even if I upgraded the shmira, I gave it from a shomer chinam to a shomer sachar, chayiv, I'm still going to be chayiv in onsim to amar lei, because the mafkid could say to the shomer, at mehemnet li b'shvua, I trust you with the shvua that you're not going to be posheya, hay lo mehem li b'shvua, but I don't trust that guy with the shvua, and therefore, meaning it could be that you gave it to someone who has a higher level of achrayus and a higher level of responsibility to watch it and all of that, but that's irrelevant to me. I don't trust the other guy, I trust you, and therefore you're not allowed to go and give to someone that you don't know for sure that I trust, you don't know for sure that I'd be comfortable with that person watching it. Meaning, why am I not comfortable with him watching it? Because if it comes to taking a shavua, I don't think anything that comes out of this guy's mouth is true. According to this, if the second shomer is more trustworthy than the first shomer, even Rava would be moda that the second shomer could take a shavua and they'd both be potter. That's what Tosus writes. And the Rosh adds, hu adin, if the first shomer sees how the onus happened, or that there are him to the ones, so even according to Rava, the first one would be pater, because he could be the one to take the shvua. Meaning, if he knows exactly what happened, so all you need to do is take a shvua that there was an ones, and he could be the one to take a shvua. However, Tosus quotes that Masechta Bamitzia, the Gemara brings that the reason we're mechayev him is because he could taina ein ritzon ishiya piktona biyadacher. Ooh, that's a very different thing. Our Gemara is saying you had no right to give it to that guy because I don't trust that guy's shvua for anything. If it's all about the shvua, so if he's a more trustworthy person, so then Yitaka would be pater. Or if even the first shomer could take the shvua, then you're going to be pater. But that's not the way the Gemara Bamitzia says. The Gemara Bamitzia says, not that I don't trust the shvua, I don't trust the shmira. Meaning, you're not allowed to give my pikadon to somebody that I don't want watching my pikadon. So even if the second shomer shomer is more trustworthy, that would not pater the first shomer. Because with the very act of giving it to someone who I don't trust, who I'm not comfortable with you giving it to, that itself is problematic. And then the final statement of Ulav. Amar Ulav Amar Blazar. Hilchsa Govim Nen Avadim. The halacha is that a malva is allowed to collect his chov from the Eved Kanani that a lova owns. Meaning, you owe me money, your Eved Kanani is worth something, I'm going to take your Eved Kanani. Amar Rav Nachman Ulav. So Rav Nachman says to Ulav, Amar Blazar, Afilu Miyasmi, this idea that you could be Gova Avadim, is that true that even from Yesomim? Meaning that he says that if the lova dies and the malva comes to collect, that it's even from Yesomim because he holds an Eved Kanani as the din of Karka, and you're allowed to collect Karka after the lova dies. So he says, Lo, Mined. No, not from Yesomim, only from the guy himself. Mined. Well, if you're collecting from the guy himself, what's the Chiddush? Afilu Meglima Dal Kaspei. You're even allowed to collect from his clothing, so of course you're allowed to collect his Avadim. So says Gemara, no, Hachem Eskinan, Shasau Aputiki. Over here we're talking about where the Lova made the Eved into an Aputiki to the Malva. The Lova says to the Malva that the Piron Hachov is going to come from this Eved. And then the Lova sold the Eved. So the Malva is allowed to go to the guy who bought the Eved and confiscate it. So that's the Chiddush, that you're allowed to make an Eved an Aputiki. Kidarava Damrava, Asa Avdu Aputiki, Umicharo Balchov Govehemenu. That if you made an Eved an Aputiki and then subsequently sold it, the Balchov can collect from it. Shoro Aputiki Umicharo, Ein Balchov Govehemenu. But if it's a Shor that was made into an Aputiki, the Balchov cannot be Gove. My time, Ha Isleikala, Ha Lesleikala. The difference is that when an Eved is sold, everyone knows there's a call to it, so whatever word has to get out about its status and whether it was an Aputiki would get out. But when it comes to a Shor, you don't have that same call to the sale. Okay, but tomorrow, I don't know, we're probably not going to have a shir because of the bus to the rally, but everyone have a good day.